Hell fucking yeah. Grab me by the sound levels.
Okay.
Is this okay? This distance from my face. Also, I like that this chair is so squeaky. Can you pick up on it?
Make sure, just make sure you do that throughout.
Just very slowly. Wait, hang on. I bet I can make it pretty steady. Oh, fuck.
And then I want to listen to the Federalist Podcast.
Hell yes. Hell yes.
And then, the first time that sentence has ever been said.
I'll tell you, it's all Howard Stern, man. That motherfucking goddamn degenerate fucking cunt. I'll tell you this much. There ain't no God while Howard Stern's walking the earth. I'll tell you that. Fuck it, I gotta go.
Hello, friends. We're back again. Another episode of Chocolate Trap House. Me, Will Meneker. Felix Biederman.
Hello, everybody. And two-time New Yorker profile, Felix Biederman.
Also, I think for now, the weekly game we're playing on the show is Where in the World is Matthew Cushbaum Christman? Matt, where you at?
I'm in Rome, Italy. Hey, this is where they invented walking in.
Matt continues his European vacation, and also making his debut now as official Chapo co-host, Virgil Texas.
Glad to be here. Also glad to be with Felix in the two-time New Yorker club, having had my race interrogated by two separate authors for that magazine.
I would also like to welcome Virgil to the club of having your race interrogated by journalists. Disgusting lying media says that they're not sure if I'm a step person or Jewish. Very unfair.
Can we establish once and for all, though, we now have Amber. We've established that she is a woman. She's now a co-host. We now have Virgil. POC? Question mark?
Well, yeah, I suppose. I mean, like,
well, standing next to us, you are.
Well, sitting next to you, yeah. Right? Well, I mean, I'm sitting next to Felix also.
That's
true. No one knows what's going on with me, man.
I shouldn't get too much further into the show before introducing our guest this week. Sitting in, we've got Erin Gloria Ryan of the Daily Beast.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's fine. Everything's fine. This is normal. It's normal and fine.
Could you stop normalizing Chapo?
Can I ask you now what I've been asking all our guests? Just how you've been coping? What's your self-care regimen like? How are you dealing now with our...
I've been having extremely weird sex. extremely weird sex. I've been masturbating a lot. I've been drinking a lot. It's basically been like nihilistic hedonism since the election. I didn't cry though.
At least there's that. It reminds me of that that episode on a little show called Mad Men, when real history happens, and like as viewers you're like, oh wow, I remember that, learning about that in history. But these characters
is that
are
that
experiencing
show about
it.
Like the history of STDs and how like Don Draper invented them.
Yeah, he invented STDs and alcoholism.
Okay. What if it wasn't called chlamydia? What if it was a celebration?
Oh, it's like his dick is a carousel.
So tragedy breeds...
No, that's exactly what happened. I was a virgin before. Yeah. I was 100% a virgin, and I lost it, and I have not looked back since November 8th.
You figured no point in keeping that V card now.
No. I mean, sorry, Pope.
I'm actually holding off till the inauguration. I'm willing to give him a chance.
I've never had sex. Nothing's changed.
Anyway, like I said, we're now another week out from year zero. We're coping. We're doing okay. We just yesterday were profiled in the Cosmopolitan Gentleman's Weekly. It's a weekly magazine about what wines to drink and cartoons about dogs, desert islands, and a therapist's office.
We're talking about the Daily Stormer.
But the New Yorker ripped them off.
Yeah,
you all
true.
Know
yeah,
that.
They ripped everything. The Daily Stormer was the first magazine to put words on paper. Yeah.
Well, the Daily Stormer is really
No, they don't have. There's no printed edition of the Daily.
I mean, it's kind of the spy magazine of long form, right? The Daily Stormer.
I mean,
I call it the New York Times.
I mean, the New Yorker, they spot talent and they did poach Andy Borowitz from them. So
yeah.
It's true, yeah.
Yeah, that does kind of put a damper on it. I mean, the New Yorker is saying, hey, look at these new comedy guys. By the way, here's an article by Andy Borowitz. Where he goes like,
I don't know if you saw, but Borowitz is really like, he's seen his call to duty, as it were, since Trump was elected. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but it was like, you know, it was like a very fucking, you know, Lenny Bruce moment. He said, Donald Trump outlaws spelling bees. And I was like, whoa.
So, I don't know. How'd you guys feel about the piece? I mean, this is our biggest press clip ever. My Menchies have been a buzz, mostly from children disturbed by that watercolor portrait of me.
Yeah, God. The one
person yeah, just saying, you look like that painting that Amber Waves made of Little Bill.
I just, yeah, no, the eyes follow you wherever you look at God, I told Gia, I want Roz Chass to draw me and nobody else, but it didn't come
through. Did John Wayne Gacy do that? Oh, no, he's dead. I was gonna say, it looks kind of like his art.
Yeah.
Well, I always try to support Midwestern artists.
Like Gacy. I hope they were stout Midwestern artists.
Yeah, what the fuck? Matt is taller than me, man.
Yeah.
He's not stout. He's not a stout.
No, stout.
No, I'm the tallest one of you motherfuckers.
I don't think stout means short.
Yeah, it does. It means like stocky.
Yes, it does.
No, it means means like barrel like, you know, like a tree of some sort.
Barrels are so tall.
No, it's not about
barrels are
height. It's not about height.
Imposing height.
Because people say short and stout. Why if they mean the same thing,
round.
That's redundant.
It's a rounded shortness.
No, if they had said short and stout. That would be the case.
Disgusting lying media saying that my co-host is not a big boy.
Well, I will just say that it was definitely like a very fast cycle of emotions for me to see, oh my God, here's this New Yorker article. Click on it, and the first fucking paragraph is, this fat unemployed asshole. I'm like, oh shit. Maybe I don't want to be in the New Yorker.
I was described as slight and bearded, which, you know,
our wispy little boy.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a lot of body shaming going on right now. I just want everybody to reflect on that and maybe do some self-examination about body shaming.
Right. Aaron is right. All men are swole.
Yeah. No, exactly. And it's very important for all men to feel good about themselves and their fat ass stout bodies.
Yeah.
Well, another thing I'm embarrassed by from the article is it did make mention in my family history that I'm from an elite New York City literary background. And the jig is up, folks.
You bougie as fuck, yo.
I know, like, for the last couple months on this show, I've been pretending to be sort of a Tom Joad figure. A son of the soil, struggling, voice of the working man. But that's now been exposed in print, and the bill is coming due, people. I can't believe this is like a Rachel Doziol case. But
it's, yeah, and I love that it was a Harvard graduate and inveterate nepotism case, Matt Iglesias, who decided to bust that one out as an own.
Well, yeah.
A guy who would be folding fucking shirts at the Gap if his dad hadn't gone to Harvard is going to throw shade on that subject.
Well, both Matt and I are both New York City private school kids. You know, I'm gonna break that news here on the show. But for some reason, like, we took opposite paths in life, and I don't know what my excuse is for not being a chubby, glib, useless asshole. But,
Will, did you go to a lesser Ivy?
Yes, I did. I went to a completely non-Ivy. Anyway, so I've been outed as a fraud. The show's over.
I'm still OG.
I'm actually extremely. My dad worked on a diary farm. the bank foreclosed on it, and I had to start working at the gentrification law firm. And yeah.
Will is out for being a bougie class traitor, and now it's going to be Felix, Matt, and the governor.
Well, like I said, this is our highest profile media hit yet, and as such, we've gotten a blizzard of reaction to this.
All white?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And all, yeah, exactly.
So a lot of white emotions swirling around. Well, actually,
there's been one guy who's been responding to Gia like dozens of times, calling us crackers and white devils and accusing her of caping for the white man. So,
but he's always been in Gia's mentions. Like, this is just a new thing.
Fact.
I mean, yes. I mean, was I hatched in a lab by Dr. Jakob? Yeah. But that makes me less of a human being.
Am I a snow ape cave person? Yes, but I'm also a father.
God, no, there's been a lot of good reactions to it. And the one I want to talk about other than is Ben Dominich of The Federalist. Is that how you say his name? Ben Domino of The Federalist replied, saw the New Yorker profile and said, "They have barely more listeners than our podcast. Where's our New Yorker profile?" And then people immediately screen capped their SoundCloud page, which showed by just a little bit more listeners means about 40,000 more listeners than them. The Federalist podcast on SoundCloud has less than 1,000 listens per episode.
Yo, they're like SoundCloud rappers.
Yeah.
Like, yo, fam, do you like virtues? Do you like it when women keep their baby? Repeat my SoundCloud, no. Federalist Radio Hour.
When someone pointed that out to him, he goes, well, iTunes, that's a thing too. But yeah, then they looked, and they're not even on the rankings.
They're
on
not
iTunes.
Listed anywhere on the iTunes charts. No, Ben Domino is like the SoundCloud rappers who begin a track by being like, "You already know who it is." And it's like, no, I don't. You're on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Aaron, you've never listened to the Federalist podcast, have you?
What's a podcast?
A podcast is it's like an hour long audio presentation where you and your friends, you get to be racist.
Is that like where you get like a text message of a picture of someone's butthole?
It's like how white men communicate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. No, that's great. I'm learning a lot today. No, I don't ever listen to the Federalist podcast, but I am on Twitter and I see them opining sometimes. It seems like and not everybody at the Federalist is an idiot, but it sort of seems like
wrong.
It sort of seems like a reason with a lobotomy.
The Federalist would be the kid on the sidewalk like yelling at abortionists. It's like the campus preacher.
I yell at abortionists, but it's like I throw my like panties at them.
Yeah.
I'm like, yay, because it's like also a one-stop shop because I'm going to get pregnant anyway. So it might as well be somebody who can take care of it.
Yeah, no, I personally yell at them for not working fast enough. Like, that was my big problem with Dr. Tiller. He had slow hands.
Oh, is that why you did that?
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. I did that.
They're like the mutant kid who you keep in the basement. But reason is the one that like you give the punishment stick to when you go to church.
That's the difference. Well, I don't understand why the Federalist podcast exists. Because I'm looking at it right now, and like their post-election episode that has like 900 views compared to our 40,000 is titled "Discerning the Continued Post-Election Outrage at Feminists." And if you're like a Gamergate,
that's our fucking gig.
Yeah, dude, get the fuck out of here.
If you're mad at feminists and you want to scream at them, you're not going to listen to the fucking bowtie dipshit guys at the Federalist, who you have been calling a cuck for the past 12 years, rightfully, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
You're more likely to listen to like a screaming Norwegian Let's Play guy who has a billion subscribers.
Yeah.
Can I say a sentence now? I'm going to put together a series of words that I don't think has yet been spoken in English or anywhere in the human race. Ready? Let's listen to the Federalist Radio Hour.
All right, let me do the sound drops first.
Oh, dear God, no.
Damn, son, where'd you find this? Federalist Radio. Women have to keep it. Carry it to term. We got first, second, and third trimester.
Sunday. You should be in church.
That's a meme where it's like a guy on fire when the new Federalist podcast drops.
Okay.
Are certainly less likely even than liberals normally
liberals.
To get on board
liberals.
With the new presidency. And we have seen that in the form of protests that unfortunately in many cases have turned violent.
Yes.
And
can we hear one with Ben?
Where's Ben?
Hey, no, I mean,
these broads are annoying.
I know, I hate listening to women talking. But I've been doing a lot of stabs since the election, I think. I think that's something that nobody is really talking, the lamestream media is not talking about. How many people have you stabbed since Trump got elected?
It's gotten violent.
We've all gotten violent as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, let's lay it out.
A lot of these protests have, they've turned violent, folks. And a lot of the individual incidents of beatings and hate crimes have also turned violent as well.
The signs are violently lame.
Yeah.
I just want to make an announcement. You know, since Trump has won, you know, I'm getting old. I'm not getting any younger, but I've been owning my craft. I am no longer an amateur knockout gamer. I'm going into the pro leagues.
I got knockout gamed. I really did.
I actually did too.
Wait, what happened with your knockout game experience?
I was in Williamsburg about a year and a half ago, and I was walking down North 6th Street at 9 p.m. and two girls were walking toward me, and one of them punched me in the face, and I did not get knocked out, so she lost.
Hell yeah. Yeah,
that's not going to happen anymore in Trump's America. I'll tell you that right now.
Thank God.
She's going to clean the streets.
All right. Let's listen to a Ben Domenech episode.
Yo, he did not even show up for his like post-election podcast.
That sounds good.
Well,
I don't know.
I was going to say, knowing Ben Domenech's history, I was assuming that his podcast would be him be just reading transcripts of Mark Maron's show. and pretending it's him speaking.
What's the deal with that? He's a plagiarist?
Yeah, yeah. He was at like a Washington Post column that he was hired to be like the right-wing blogger on the Washington Post opinion section for a hot minute, but got done after like three columns because he was literally plagiarizing PJ O'Rourke.
Aim high.
So how did he become the publisher of The Federalist? Like, what's the backstory with this site?
Well, he put an infant inside a pentagram and lit five red candles around it and made an offering.
I guess my point is, like, he's not just a plagiarist. He's also a dumb guy. Like, by all accounts, he's an imbecile. So, like, who's, like, even if you're, like, this right-wing guy who's like, I'm going to create propaganda, we're going to counter-program all these lefties. Like, why would you put an idiot in charge of that?
I mean, who else are they going to hire?
I'll do it.
Okay.
Felix and I will do it.
Yeah, we would do so well at it. Check this out. Liberals reveal they're not open-minded by not voting for Donald Trump. To give him a chance.
Swish.
Boom.
What?
Yeah, give us $300,000. We'll split a salary. We'll share an office. We'll even share a chair to like keep costs down.
Why are you negotiating from their point?
Oh, that's sharing a chair. That's the American way.
Yeah, it shows
like
initiative.
You earn your way up to your own chair.
Yeah. You don't want to share a chair with me? Like all the work we've done together?
No, we should have individual chairs and individual offices and individual salaries.
Wow, that's intolerant.
Yeah, it is. It is. Wow, I thought liberals were against segregation.
Damn, how does he do it?
Yeah, see, that's why I'm the chief negotiator for our shared job at the Federalist.
Aaron, I do think there is space in the market for like a snarky lady blog, but from like a hard, hard right-wing perspective.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, the thing is, I've thought about this a little bit. I think that conservatism is about... like reinforcing the status quo. I mean, this is like this is not a joke. It's sort of about like reinforcing and maintaining, and comedy is about challenging and undermining. And so they're just two diametrically opposed forces. Like you can't be funny and actually culturally conservative.
But what if the status quo? What if the status quo though is just kind of bland liberalism? Can't you be a subversive radical?
Oh yeah, you can be a reactionary. Punk. You can be a punk. But I think like in order to make a joke, you have to challenge like hierarchies. But I think for the most part, like also like another thing is I think most conservatives that I know are sort of fearful of confronting liberalism, like in a real way or engaging with like nuance as are a lot of people on the far left.
Well, they just confronted liberalism pretty fucking hard a week ago.
I mean, confronting it in a way that's like, that is necessary to make good comedy. In order to confront something to make good comedy, you have to develop a familiarity with it and understand like, you know, in Paris is Burning when they talk about like doing a read or like throwing shade, you have to have enough familiarity to know where somebody is vulnerable or weak. You have to know what to make jokes about. Like, I cannot tell you how many fucking times I've gotten people on randos on Twitter being like, why don't you drink your latte a little harder? And it's like,
and they were like, can you point me to the M&M store, please?
Yeah. Hey, hey, bitch, why don't you go mainline some Skittles? Or, no, I don't. What are you talking
hey,
about?
Hey, why don't you go down to Times Square and look at the national debt clock, bitch?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is that the conservatives can't be funny for the simple reason that they get too mad. Like, if you ever look at any attempted comedy hashtags that teacots try to get started, they always devolve into just incoherent shouting. It's like, enjoy your pumpkin spice latte, you lib, while you're eating a goddamn fetus, you murderer.
Yeah. Or it's like Steven Crowder, where he's like, I'm about to reveal the liberal double standard by putting on a dress and sucking my friend's dick. That's not comedy. You just wanted to do that.
I was talking to somebody about Milo one time, and they were like,
name is Milo.
His name is Jerk Off Motion in the Air. That's his name. You know, he's always coming up with these like hilarious stunts where I'm bathing in pig blood. Take that, libtards. And it's not funny. Like, it'd be funnier. Here's a good joke for Air Jerk Off Motion Man. It would be funnier if he, like, were to pretend that he was going to identify as a woman, then pretend to be pregnant, and then crowdfund for his own imaginary abortion. That would be fucking funny. But he's not going to do that because he doesn't understand how to needle things, because he's not familiar enough with the left to actually make a good joke.
Well, he might just listen to this. Yeah. So.
Well, if you steal it, I said it first, you fucking dick.
They can't, like, make a comedic concept build because, like Matt said, they just, like, get too mad. Like, they can't like start opening it up, like set up a premise and then follow through with a punchline, because it's just immediately like, hey, do you need a safe space for this country you're ruining, you piece of shit? I fucking hate you.
I get the safe space thing a lot. Also, like, because I'm a lady, I get the like, why don't you go home and masturbate while your cat's around? It's like, that's not sad at all for me. That is pleasurable.
That sounds great. Like, it's a totally free, cool thing.
Felix and I actually proved this when we tried to reverse engineer a teacot version of the teacot name games that we would do, where we would try to think of the most hilarious names for conservatives because they all sound idiotic.
Classic Kishbaum bit.
Like Yardley Hunchback or whatever. And we're like, well, what would be the conservative version of that? And it would be like, you know, ACLU lawyer Myron Flagburn,
liberal professor Gay Weakling.
Have you ever noticed though that a lot of like conservative male conservative pundits' names sound a little bit like gay porn stars? I can't tell the difference. Like, there's a guy named Buck Sexton.
Brad Thor.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's a really hard game to play. Like
Max
conservative.
Max Boot.
He's a crush film star.
I mean, even if you think about like even the like more mainstream conservative, like Bill O'Reilly and like Sean Hannity, they all
put down
could.
That pipe and hop Holy on my shit. Pipe, baby.
Say, baby, put down that pipe and get my pipe up. I would like you to unhook your bra and let it slide down your arms. You can keep your shirt on. Cup your hands under your breasts and hold them for 10 seconds. Off with those pants. He then dropped to the floor, kneeling before Ashley, pushing her skirt up to her waist. Using a fair amount of pressure, he kissed her inner thighs, using his lips and tongue. His hands reached the waistband of her hose. Shannon gently gave a tug and Ashley lifted her hips. He slipped the hose down to her ankles, all the while continuing to knead her skin with his tongue. Ashley climaxed twice before the two got up from the couch and climbed the stairs to the master bedroom. She obediently performed oral sex on him. 5 feet away, the other teenage girl sat on a mattress on the floor and watched, greedily sucking on a crack pipe Robo had passed to her. Edgar looked over and grinned, showing yellow, decaying teeth. Obviously, he preferred oral sex to oral hygiene. Closing her eyes, she concentrated on the tingling sensation of water flowing against her body. Suddenly, another sensation intruded. Ashley felt two large hands wrap themselves around her breasts and hot breath on the back of her neck. She opened her eyes wide and giggled. "I thought you drowned out there, snorkel man." Tommy O'Malley was naked and at attention. "Drowning is not an option," he said, "unless, of course, you beg me to perform unnatural acts right here in this shower."
Holy shit. Oliver North is Peter North's brother.
Yes. Yeah. I would bet one is probably a lot better at fucking.
Yeah, Oliver, yeah.
Yeah.
Oliver. Peter got all the cum. Oliver just, like, he whistles. But I want to go back to the latte dish, which is, you know, classic bit.
It's so a standard painful go-to. To me. But I love lattes so much.
Who doesn't like steamed milk and coffee?
Whom amongst us?
But that's the thing. Everybody does. And the funniest thing this week is the Trump Starbucks protest now. They're fucking drinking lattes too and trying to make like service workers call them Trump.
Guys, this is called Operation Home Nurse. Next time that your Craftmatic turns over and you're caught in the space between your bed and the wall, call the nurse you have on call that takes care of your diabetes and say that your name is Trump, and it will drive them crazy because nurses are libs.
Oh, and man.
But no,
see,
I mean,
everyone is making fun of these guys for buying a product that they're trying to protest. And show, and how are you so stupid? But I mean, I am old enough, and maybe Will remembers this, to remember during the Iraq War when guys in large numbers would buy French wine to pour down the down their toilet or into a like there would be like I remember seeing news footage of dozens of idiot hicks chuckling their asses off while they poured French wine into a sewer that they had fucking purchased.
They're trying to boycott Pepsi. Did you see this?
Yeah.
I don't even know what it's about. I saw them post
I've been
this
boycotting
thing.
Pepsi for my entire adult life. It's easy.
And they saw
Coke
this thing that's
superior.
Actually, this week, so Megyn Kelly has a new book out, which I'm sure you guys have all been devouring.
More.
You guys have all been devouring it. Actually,
yeah.
I see four copies here. Three of them are crusted in cum. But there's a lot of people on Amazon, like Reddit's The Donald went after the book. They're like, let's fucking downvote it. Guys, so they got the gang together. They all went over to Amazon and they started giving it 1-star reviews. Like, take that, Megyn Kelly. But a lot of them, I was like writing a story about it for the Daily Beast, and I noticed that a lot of the low rated reviews were verified purchases, which meant that these fuckers bought the book. Good job, guys. That'll show her.
I do know in her book that she describes, you know, sexual harassment, like doing crunches, because just as a woman, it makes you stronger and you're
doing
empowered
crunches
later.
Fucking suck. You can't do crunches.
They're the worst ab exercises.
They're
leg
terrible.
Raises and planks are better.
Just walking around with good posture is better than doing crunches.
Yeah, crunches make you look like Mickey from Rocky.
Well, it's like what happens when you do like curls, your bicep gets bigger. When you do crunches, you're just making the muscles
exactly.
bigger.
I mean, you don't get those popping obliques unless you're doing Russian twists. They fucking suck. I'm so mad about this right now. Holy shit. She should be. That is like malpractice.
That's why I throw up.
Yeah, I do too. I'm like, dude. It doesn't matter how many wraps or sets you get out there, as long as you get one wrap of the finger down the throat lift at the end of the day. That's where abs
or
are made, 50 baby.
50 reps of not picking up a fork.
Yeah. You just, look, you need to get a fentanyl patch, snort a few lines, smoke 2 packs a day so you don't have to eat. That's called dedication, dude.
Oh my God. Well, when you buy a product and you throw it out or you're like, I don't like this, then your money that you spent on it, it can't be used to buy anything. It becomes it like gets blank and it says ha ha.
Well, this is an issue I'm struggling with on the show because I want to do like an extended reading series where we read Ben Shapiro's whole book True Allegiance and we just
do you read it in his voice though, his terrible voice.
The leftist race hustlers are collaborating with the terrorists. General Buckcock is going to straighten them out. My coast-to-coast college tour of owning liberal will commence. No, I want to do a show about... I want to actually read Ben Shapiro's ripped from the headlines thriller, True Allegiance. Just like the Amazon preview I read was already so amazing.
Good.
So good.
It's fucking awesome.
And I want to do an episode about Megan McArdle's book about how failure equals success. Because she ripped off our idea, or we ripped off her. I don't know what... But again, I just can't bring myself to actually
get a review copy. Get a review copy.
That's true.
Reach out to their publicists.
Yeah.
I asked our editor at Cafe to get us a review copy of Ben Shapiro's book.
Did it work? Did you get it?
I don't know. I don't think they're even sending out reviews yet.
Like, I wonder why they've embargoed this book from critics. Critics outside of The Federalist and Independent Journal Review. Which said it was a rip-roaring thriller.
Well, I'm excited for Benny Johnson. He's finally going to learn to read using True Allegiance. They're going to put a candy corn every three pages. He has to read all of them. Delicious
says,
treat.
Benny, it says race hustler. Sound it out.
Race hustler. Race hustler.
I'll have you guys know that catheters4homedelivery.com called it psychologically taught.
Benny Johnson's conservative book will be just the retarded parts of Sound and the Fury.
Imagine if Clifford the big red dog crushed Planned Parenthood with his paws. That's what it's like.
That'll disguise the blood.
Yeah. Thank God for editing. I'll email Regnery Books and I'll say, "Hi, I host a podcast where we weekly just savage this fucking elfin Nimrod. Please send us a copy of the book for free."
I host a podcast called the Chapo Reading Group, and it's just some gentlemen who get together to discuss their favorite works.
Hi, my name is James. I host a show called Citizen Radio.
Hi, if you could just get one of the boxes of those books that you're just shipping in bulk to old age homes, get up the New York Times bestseller list artificially, just knock one over here. It doesn't matter either way. No one's reading them, right?
Yeah, that's how you know that your loved one is dying, because they're reading, like, if they're reading a Ben Shapiro book, that's like only hospice cares order those. that's how you know, like, oh, I don't have too much time left with grandpa. He's reading True Allegiance.
You know, I was also, one other thing from something we were saying earlier is that I kind of do respect the conservatives who, they buy the product in order to boycott it, because it's just very, it's like day turning to me. It's very anti-capitalist.
Aren't they suggesting boycotting Hamilton now? It's like,
yes.
They were posting
boycott Hamilton.
They were
burning up Twitter right as we speak.
They were posting
every fucking toothless gomer who wouldn't even fucking set foot in New York City if you put a gun to his head is now vowing to not spend $1,000 to see a fucking musical.
They're saying go to New York, go to Hamilton and protest Hamilton.
I don't know who to root for.
This is a firmly team nobody situation.
Yeah, this is like the Syrian civil war.
Who's Assad and who's ISIS? Hamilton
is Assad.
Pence is ISIS.
Yeah. And you're like, ugh, I don't like the regime, but this could be worse.
Book of Mormon is YPG.
Yeah.
No, but dude, I woke up this morning and this was just burning up the timeline.
Hell yeah.
Mike Piss went to see Hamilton last night and was booed by the crowd. Now,
that'll show him.
I think it did show him. I gotta say, I'm a little bit encouraged that there's only been a few libs who are going, really low class guys, just really never boo a man in the theater.
It was Dave Itzkoff.
Yes, but some of the people doing that include people who work at the New York Times who have been trying to sell subscriptions on the concept that they are going to be the ones in the media to stand against the Trump administration, right?
Right.
Like the big push of, like, subscribe to the New York Times to fight against the encroaching darkness. And you had David Itzkoff being one, I'm bummed out by that. This is against the message of Hamilton, which is...
Maggie Haberman, who just last week was like, yep, here's the hate mail I get. It's pictures of fucking concentration camps. And now she's like, gotta respect the office.
Can we talk about what Donald Trump actually said? Because it just, like, shows what...
Folks, I always loved the theater. I'm a theater kid. I was a theater kid. I love the musical theater.
Cats taught me it was okay to be weird. Believe me, I say it all the time. To be a queer kid growing up in the outer boroughs,
theater was a refuge. Gesticulate like how my dad from Wisconsin thinks gay guys gesticulate.
Yeah.
Folks, Rum Tum Tigger. He's great. Can't believe they booed a great man.
Pippin.
Hey, when the Phantom, he sings Music of the Night, I'm crying, folks. I'm crying. But, like, I can't control
it. Do we love that? Do we love the Music of the Night?
That's the thing, is he literally said, like, the theater is supposed to be a safe space. And it's like, what roofs is the people who voted for him are? They're like, he's going to bring back white honor with blood and fury. And he's just this, like, fey New York real estate guy who's like, I cannot believe they disgraced
the theater. I bet his hands feel like wet bread dough.
He gave a on Twitter, he gave a 5-star review of American Idiot by like 2012. If that's absolutely true, you can look it up. He was like,
"Yo, he loves the theater.
He loves theater."
You know what's really obnoxious about this whole thing?
So does Glenn Beck, by the way.
Glenn Beck loved the fucking Spider-Man. Turn off the injuries.
He loved.
Oh my god, I remember that. Yeah,
he was like, "Turn off the dark." Was so good, and it was all about like people died, man. But I was thinking about people freaking out about this Hamilton thing, and like everybody's like, "Oh no, you know this is they're booing Pence. Yay, booing Pence." Or like Trump was tweeting about how. Yeah, they're booing him. How classless. But like now we're talking about this instead of the vast ethical problems and the vast potential legal problems with his presidency. Now we're talking about...
He fucking settled...
Yeah,
he settled
his Trump U lawsuit.
$20 million.
And now he's focusing his followers on this notion that they have that everybody in the cities who voted for Hillary Clinton are these elite, multicultural gay people who can't wait to boo them. Like, it's completely... Completely inflaming the exact insecurities that his voting base has and expressed in the voting booth, and it's real. I mean, it's like a funny thing to talk about, but also like, don't lose sight of what's like really happening.
No, I mean, it's true. It's like we've spent the entire past 24 hours like litigating, like, is it all right to boo a man in the theater if he electrocutes gay people? Meanwhile, Michael Flynn is drawing up plans to nuke Hawaii.
Jeff Sessions is going to be like the AG.
Right.
He can't even grow facial hair. How can we trust him with the laws of this
country? Like, hey, guys, my guy got booed at a Broadway show that none of you will ever be able to afford to attend. Oh, by the way, one of the bad guys from Mississippi Burning is going to be in general. Anyway, see you later. Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely true that there's like this really insidious bait and switch here where all of this bad shit's coming out about, you know, his fraud trials and conflicts of interest and his neo-Confederate attorney general. Meanwhile, we're all talking about his stupid tweets about Hamilton and his like weird Cotton Hill-esque vice president getting booed. But then some people want to take it the next step and say that this is like Trump showing his evil genius. He's not. He's a moron.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
And that's what he does. He tweets compulsively. He is... just a wounded ego creature who has no self-control or conception of anything beyond his own very narrow concerns. It was always funny during the Obama administration watching liberals try to claim that he was pulling off like some 12th dimensional chess move. But it's going to be even more absurd to watch people on either side of the aisle try to claim that Trump has anything going on other than just an immediate, like, nerve-ending ganglion response to whatever's right in front of him.
Wow, Trump just took out the left flank by addressing Noam Chomsky as Professor Homo on Twitter. You're dealing with a political genius here, a man who understands language.
The other Trump news item that I enjoyed from this week was everyone freaking out by the fact that he had that meeting with Shinzo Abe that Ivanka sat in on. And I swear to God, I saw Keith Olbermann was just like all caps, "Sir, she was not elected. She's not a member of your cabinet. What the frick is she doing?" And it's like, okay, well, I don't think it really is an official state meeting, but who cares?
Yeah,
this is America now. Like, this is our country now. Let all his stupid family members sit in on official state business.
Also, like, if Donald Trump cannot see his daughter's legs at all times, he will start crying.
Yeah.
I remember thinking back to the kind of shit that, like, people used to think was going to move the needle during previous administrations. Ooh, that's going to look bad. You know, that's bad optics. That, throw that away. That's not going to fucking happen. Put a fucking above ground pool in the Rose Garden. Who fucking cares? Just have the front door of the White House just like a screen door that's slapping in the breeze. And there's like feral dogs taking shits on the front yard. Who fucking cares?
There's several emaciated and incredibly mean dogs chained to like a car engine just sitting on the White House lawn.
I think the left is sort of playing into like the stupid distraction game too. Like, I mean, not to go back to fucking Hamilton, but I mean, most of my thoughts go back to Hamilton. But no, I was just thinking today, so many people were like, yes, keep booing him. Boo him forever. It's like, that is the most useless way possible to encounter whatever is about to happen is to be like, boo, I don't like it. I'm crying. I'm so mad. Because I think people that supported Donald Trump love that you hate it. Like, keep hating it. It makes them want to show up to rallies.
Yeah, the Hamilton crowd is just about the most...
Like, how many people at Hamilton voted for Donald
Trump? A lot of those people were applauding him.
Yeah, if that's the choice, I'll take the baying hordes over those fucking smug assholes.
I agree with Matt, and something I just realized the other day was Matt's the only person I know who's truly processed immediately and viscerally just how stupid the world has become. Like, all of this is
so
just
dumb.
Idiocy, and now it's institutional idiocy that we have to put in history books and shit, and we have to say, like, yeah, this happened.
Yeah, but
there's no explanation whatsoever.
Yeah, but to be fair, that's like always history. There's never been
It's never been this dumb.
Yeah, it has.
No,
yeah,
not, dude,
no.
Like,
this,
yeah, okay, okay, okay.
I'm our virtual. First, like, our this first, is like, next 20... level stupid. Are there, this is
what
next
about Warren
level
G. Harding?
Stupid.
This is
like
not
people
as
like to compare
yes,
Trump.
Yes, it is.
People like to compare Trump to Reagan, and like that
Reagan
is accurate.
Shit himself in the Oval
Reagan,
Office.
Like Trump's heir. Trump is the heir to Reagan. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But Reagan was fucking governor of California for 2 terms.
Yeah, and
this guy was host of the fucking Apprentice for 14 years.
The Apprentice
that
is a bigger
decline.
A bigger economy.
Like, that
California.
Is a noticeable difference.
It's a fucking Family Guy joke that became real and is now reality, and it's just unnerving.
Yes.
Matt's right on it.
There's nothing like too weird or too outrageous to happen anymore.
I just want to say something. I think that the office of president can transform a man.
And, the majesty of the office.
Yeah, exactly.
He will rise
once,
to the majesty
once
of the office.
Once dangerous poor Donald Trump sees the Resolute Desk and looks at the history behind it.
Matt, if he's going to be stopped, it's like everyone has to realize there's nothing about institutions that function in this country, and it's all about coalitions and power. And if he loses, it's going to be for the same reason that Nixon lost, because he lost he lost his party.
Right.
Well, we're already seeing now in this like muted resistance to Trump among the dumbest people in the media and in the world, this same faith in institutions and process that got them to this point. And of course, I'm thinking of our good friend Kurt Eichenwald, who was like, if Trump creates a Muslim registry, I'm converting to Islam and joining it, and I encourage everyone to do the same. And it's just like, well, why not just like speak out against it and stand in solidarity with the people who are like, what's this idea that like everyone's going to convert to Islam at once, and then they'll be like, well, the registry will be too big now.
One thing I noticed this week, so I've, you know, people have kind of been dealing with things on their own, and I have a podcast that's all like women who are in the media, and on the podcast last week people were like, I'm joining MMA, like I'm gonna do Krav Maga, and I started calling, like, just out of curiosity, just started calling like self-defense schools in New York City. They're all overwhelmed. Like,
really?
They all have like a record number this week. They had like record numbers of enrollments. Usually this time of the year is really quiet for them. Mm-hmm. But there's a place in Brooklyn that got a request, in Park Slope, that got a request for 7,000, like a training for 7,000 people from a Muslim group. There are people, there are people like LGBT women, and they're all people who aren't traditionally enrolling in self-defense and MMA. The people that are seeking it out at like the biggest school, it's Krav Maga Institute in like lower Midtown. They have, they normally have like a 70% male new enrollment rate. This week, they have 300% more people than they normally do, and the gender balance has flipped. So it's 70% women. So New York City, it isn't happening other places in the country. It's not in LA. They're like, well, election what? We're too high on pot. But in New York, like, people are just like low key trying to figure out how to fight. And it's kind of crazy and weird.
We should encourage them to seek another martial art other than Krav Maga.
Krav Maga is trash. I'm sorry. It like doesn't work.
Eye poking and ball kicking is super useful.
Look, eye poking and ball kicking is great, but you need live training. Like, Krav Maga to me, it's just like, they're like, I've been doing Krav Maga for 10 years, and now, if somebody points an AR-15 with the safety off, mind you, on a Boeing 757, I have a 48% chance of disarming them if I remember these 38 moves. Like, fights are like kinetic. You need live training for muscle memory. And I don't think that like pre-rehearsed shit works. I mean, how many Israeli champions in MMA have there been? Zero.
Well, I think the media is just covering them up.
Yeah, it's true. They are. There is a bias against Israel in the MMA media.
In the media, for sure.
Yeah. People should do judo, wrestling. The great, folks, the great. I can't say enough about clinch fighting, okay?
So your recommendation is judo.
Judo, no gi judo, or gi judo, wrestling, Greco-Roman wrestling, clinch fighting, Muay Thai, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Be on the lookout for our new self-defense video series. Dude, no, like, how to survive Trump's dangerous America.
No, dude, seriously, someone asked me to make one last night. I was thinking about how mad people would get if I make a video where I'm like wearing a headband. And it's called like Females Defend Yourself.
I think it'd be great.
I think we should totally do that.
I'll wear, you know what? I will wear a shirt with iron on letters that says this is okay, and I'll stand in the background
periodically whistling and going, this is okay.
It's okay, guys. It's okay. Well, it's okay.
While I'm staring into the camera like, the woman has a lower center of gravity due to her uterus.
This is okay.
Yeah, he's totally right, folks. This is in the encyclopedia.
Happy you came by.
Oh, this is great. This is a really good time.
Well, I mean, going back to the Federal News Hour, you know, things are scary and violent out there, but just not in the way that these assholes imagine. Because, you know, the new line now from these guys is that these are all professional protesters. Yeah. Yeah. Do you know where I can get that gig?
I went to MoveOn.org and they asked me to donate to them. It's fucking bullshit. I was going for that.
Yeah, these advocacy groups are really rich. They're just rolling in money.
Want to do this reading series?
Yeah. Hell yeah, bitch.
We got to do this now. All right. The Chapo reading series this week, we've been talking about Donald Trump, but I think we need to go back to the people who just love Hillary Clinton. And there's been a whole sort of genre that's popped up this week, mostly on Medium. The Hillary Clinton was too good for us genre is what I'm calling this. And I'm going to read now from what I think is the by far the best one of them. Of course, I'm referring to Virginia Heffernan. Hillary Clinton is more than a president. She is an idea, a world historical heroine, light itself.
I mean, Hillary does travel faster than 186,000 miles per second when collapsing outside the 9/11 memorial.
Hillary is both a particle and a wave. She says different things to the waves when she's paid to speak there. This is on
Lenny Letter.
Well, you know what's funny is the person who did beat Hillary Clinton does want to take us back in time.
Yeah, no, so this was published on Lenny Letter, which is Lena Dunham's online magazine, I guess.
It's a newsletter.
I subscribe.
It's a newsletter.
It's Lena Dunham's newsletter.
But it became a site, right?
Oh, it's, yeah. You know what? I think actually the working title of it, it was like, but how does this affect Lena Dunham?
Well, I was going to say, I looked into it.
I think that Lenny Letter must be like for the people, the children of people who subscribe to Goop.
I thought the Lenny and Lenny Letter was referring to Lenny from Mice and Men.
Yeah.
I thought that he wrote this.
I thought it was
Where
Lenny.
Where did the nice lady go?
No, I
thought it was Lenny from The Simpsons, and that was just a delightful image in my head.
I thought it was Lenny from Ghost Rider.
No, it is named after Steinbeck's famous man-child, and it's called Lenny Letter because every article is as soft as a rabbit. And you just keep want to read it and read it and touch it and touch it until
and
you
just
break
grab
your
it by
iPhone.
The hair until it dies.
Where did Nice Hillary go? I don't want to see John Podesta.
Okay, let's dive into this. Okay, Hillary is more than a president; she's an idea. When people told me they hated Hillary Clinton, or far worse, that they were quote not fans, I wish I had said in no uncertain terms, I love Hillary Clinton. I am in awe of her. I am set free by her. She will be the finest world leader our galaxy has ever seen.
Okay, yeah, sure.
She's taking a strong stand for the existence of intelligent life elsewhere in the universe.
Well, what about Galactus? Galactus was a third way reformer. I mean, he only got in there in the first place because of Ross Perot ran against him, but...
I wish in those exchanges I had not asked gentle, tolerant questions about a hater's ridiculous allergy to her or Clinton's fictional misdeeds and imagined character flaws. More deeply still, I wish I had not reasoned with anyone, patiently countered their ludicrous emotionalism.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, sorry,
yeah.
I winked. I hope you can add a sound effect for that. And psychologically disturbed theories.
Add a
wink sound effect again. I wish I had said flatly, I love her, as if I had been asked about my mother or daughter. But people say with impunity they love Obama, the state of Israel, their churches, Kurt Cobain. In the end, I wish I said it because it's true. I like those examples.
Yeah.
Obama, the state of Israel, their churches, and Kurt Cobain.
Those are my all interests on Facebook. Those are my only interests on Facebook.
When we annotated this for Genius, I got on that line that's, you guys know this account? It's called Twinks for Trump. And it's, I don't know, I discovered it like...
Is this a real account?
Several months ago. At first, I didn't know if it was real, but this account would all be like, shave my chest for daddy. And it was so funny to me. And I guess it is real, because they were at the Milo thing,
yeah.
Right? The blood thing?
It's real.
And so like all these like, you know, alt-right Nazi freaks were like, Trump is dad. I love daddy. And like Milo calls him dad and all this shit.
And Coulter calls him dad.
And
too.
We all made fun of that. Like those of us who were like, yeah, saw it. We all kind of should have been looking at our blind spot for the people like Hillary is mommy.
And there's a lot of that. There are a lot of people who think that Hillary is their mom. And I don't know. It's,
I mean, I think that she reminds a lot of people that are our age about of their mothers. Like, because I think if you live in New York City and you're like on your own, you probably had a mom. I mean, she reminds me kind of my mom, even though my mom isn't like exactly like her. Just some her mannerisms, the way that she speaks. I don't know. She was like in that generation of feminists.
My mother's White House must be piping hot.
No, that is. My mom does talk like Hillary. And when I call her, it's every 6 months. God keep them at a distance.
I don't mean like viewpoint wise. I mean just like there's certain like je ne sais quoi like mannerisms that my mom
chilling in Cedar
well, when
Rapids.
When my mom is in Arkansas, she's got a weird Southern accent, and then when she's in Washington, she talks more rapidly.
It reminds me of how my mom like does fucking dabs and shit on Vine against her will to appeal to certain demographics.
When your mom went on Ellen, and it made me want to die.
She just wanted to die the whole time. I mean, that's what they should have said. It's not that like Hillary's mom and you all have to love her. Just like look at how sad she is.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
All this bullshit. Hates herself.
I get there's like a Hillary is mommy crowd, but I think that there's a lot of people that just have like a little bit of intersection with like feeling for her, like how they feel for their mothers. Even though they don't necessarily agree with her, I think that there's like even. And I was never the biggest Hillary fan, but I sometimes there's like glimmers of like. I feel for her a little bit.
I think it's all, I mean, okay, I can see that and I can empathize with it, but at the end of the day, it's all pathology and we should hate the ruling class. Like, we should all loathe the people who want to rule us.
Well, I mean, as Faulkner's Manchild writes, as in the continuing along, he says, I'm not alone in my commitment. Millions of Clinton supporters, we were thanked by Clinton as the secret private Facebook, what the fuck? We were thanked by Clinton as the secret private Facebook sites. Expressed it among themselves all the time in raptures or happy tears.
Oh, you guys want to know about the secret private Facebook site that women have? Oh, there's a ton of them because Facebook is not safe. So there's like a ton of little groups of like female comedians, journalists, and they kind of commiserate and they're uncensored. And there's like one of the unspoken rules, well, or sometimes written rules of the groups are that if you expose anything that's said there or anybody that's in the group, then you are fucking out. So there's
it's like Fight Club.
I'm in those groups.
Next time you should save my comment.
I will. I'm in like, you know, Sisters United. I'm in the ladies room.
Felix can be
room.
A girl name.
Felicia. And I'm they're just always like, let's support each other. And I'm like, you go, girls. Yeah, and they're like, I'm so glad we let you in here, Felix.
Yeah.
The only man who can listen to us.
Aaron, what do they say about me? Let's cut to the chase.
It's mostly eggplant emojis.
Okay. Yeah, what does that symbolize?
I think
like eggplants.
Nutrition.
They're good. They're hearty and they're odd. You know, nothing else like them. Okay.
That's
nice.
Yeah.
I think it's like Bad Girls Club. Like if I was on Bad Girls Club and they're like, Leia, you're a fake ass bitch. And you know, I would be eating ribs and be going totally. Ladies, I'm trying to game. Keep it down.
Continuing on, Lenny Letter says, we were frankly bewildered by the idea that anyone would hedge their commitment to her. You don't have to be her friend. Yes, she's made mistakes, quote, the lesser of two evils. We didn't remember anyone turning to this stock ambivalence when discussing Obama, Babe Ruth, FDR.
What? Babe Ruth?
Yeah, Babe Ruth.
Look, guys, Babe Ruth may have a...
Babe Ruth may have started the Reichstag fire.
Babe Ruth was a great Secretary of Agriculture, guys. Yeah.
This person is so good at making lists. I'm just so impressed by it. I find it so hard. It's like people never talk about Steve Ballmer and pork chops and Kazakhstan like that.
But wait a second. Oh, really? She's not perfect? Would you ever fucking say that about Charles Lindbergh, Mike Pence, Madonna, or Adolf Hitler?
Well, look, first of all, Obama, people felt nothing but ambivalence about him, right? Like, yeah. I mean, that's not fair. Babe Ruth, if you were like not a Yankees fan, you probably felt ambivalent about Babe Ruth. And FDR... sort of like win World War II, so yeah. Or at least contribute
like
to that.
I don't like people in wheelchairs, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, you know what? You know what? There was no Twitter during World War II, so we have no fucking idea how people felt about FDR or Babe Ruth, for that matter, or Obama, because this is basically the first election we've ever had where that kind of instantaneous fucking like nerve-ending response people can have has been recorded for all of time.
Matt, I know that you're joking, but I guarantee if you LexisNexis like back to newspaper articles from that era, yeah, there probably was a lot of that stuff coming from Western papers. That's like, do better, Hitler.
Well,
yeah.
Another thing the media does is that they make legends. Usually a legend is made by men and media. The legend of Kennedy, say, or Jim Morrison. We're back to
Jim Morrison.
We're back to these lists.
The legend.
Jim
the
Morrison
legend
sucked.
Of
the Dylan or Henry Kissinger.
Jim Morrison. Yeah, yeah. Where is she getting these examples from?
No, if you just hit random article on Wikipedia.
The legend of Hubert Humphrey and meatloaf.
Luxembourg.
This is like if Billy Joel was like dying as he was trying to write a sequel to We Didn't Start the Fire.
She says the shortcomings are almost always something exactly no one actually believes compromises his heroism, his problem drinking, his mistreatment of women. Well, takedowns of Hillary were already written. Under cover of, quote, humanizing the intimidating valedictorian, reports and investigations and media cliches vilified her. But the feminist hero never got to be a legend first, and yet she is one, easily surpassing Ben Franklin, Henry Ford, Steve Jobs.
Well, she does.
Wait, are you joking? Or is this
no, I'm not joking. This is totally real.
Oh my God.
So she's easily passed Ben Franklin, Henry Ford, and Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs, who read The Gorilla Mindset to cure his cancer. Yeah.
Steve Jobs are like, wow, Hillary is at least as good as this
Henry
bit.
Ford, who was like the most anti-Semitic man
yeah,
other
ever.
Than Hitler in the world.
Ever.
The
I gotta say, I have ambivalent feelings
like
about Henry Ford.
The second most anti-Semitic person on earth.
Steve Jobs, who they were like, Steve, you have the only curable form of cancer, and you have $80 billion. He's like, I got you. I just bought a palm juice. I am taking care of this myself right now.
I've got the best juice.
Henry Ford, who thought that like reading was a Jewish conspiracy.
We don't have to wait until she dies to act. Hillary Clinton's name belongs on ships and airports and tattoos. She deserves straight up hagiographies and a sold out Broadway show called Rodham. Yes, this cultural canonization is going to come after the chronic and nonstop, on the other hand, sexist hedging around her legacy. But such is the courage of Hillary Clinton and her supporters. We reverse patriarchal orders. Maybe she is more than a president. Maybe she is an idea, a world historical heroine, light itself. The presidency is too small for her. She belongs to a much more elite class of Americans, the more than presidents. You ready for this list? Neil Armstrong, Martin Luther King Jr., Alexander fucking Hamilton. Yes, she wrote fucking there.
Hell yeah.
Neil Armstrong was the first man to walk on the moon. And Martin Luther King was probably the most important moral leader of the 20th century in America. Hillary Clinton just ran an incompetent presidential campaign that, and she lost the presidency to a pussy-grabbing game show host. I don't think she's quite on Armstrong or Martin Luther King's level.
Okay, you know what? She lost two presidential races. Let's be fair.
That's true. That's true. Hillary Clinton is up there with Fatality, the first famous pro gamer.
I don't get it. We wanted her to win just to stop Trump. You didn't read. People weren't saying this kind of crap about John Kerry. Like, we all acknowledge, John Kerry just fucking sucks.
I was saying that.
Well, John Kerry
brings a strength that we only have known in our fathers.
And then the minute he lost, it was like, well, fuck you, asshole.
Yeah, unaccomplished dickhead.
I do think the fact that she's a woman was like symbolic on a certain level to people.
Oh, yeah.
So I get some of the dismay about it, you know, like before the election, I was thinking like, oh, it'd be really cool if my grandma were alive to vote for the first female candidate, like just on a base level, like that would be cool if she could have seen this. And then like 2 days later, I was like, well, I'm glad she's not alive for this.
I know you feel because I was like, I wish my dad was alive to vote for Jim Webb with me. We were both big web heads.
I was actually on election night before the Chapo live show. I was actually like putting a pillow over Mima's face.
Was she alive in 2000? Because Pat Buchanan's running mate that year was a woman.
I'm glad that my curly-headed, logic-fucking asshole grandfather wasn't alive to see Rand Paul get destroyed.
He would have been our first Rand president.
I'm rocking out to the White Stripes. You hugged President Barack Obama.
Who
destroyed the Fourth Amendment.
He did recommend like Disturbed or like Puddle of Mud or at one point.
I'm on the outside and I'm looking in.
You know what?
It just didn't work.
Chris Christie's like mass owning over the like during the Trump administration. Like this has been the only good thing about the last week is like the only purely satisfying thing is Chris Christie just being fully owned and like realizing that he was Donald Trump's fat girlfriend all along.
He literally gambled it all on Trump winning, and he's probably more relieved than anyone.
I was just imagining like, okay, he's the fat girlfriend. Let's keep going with this. So Chris Christie is at a bar, and he sees Donald Trump there with Mike Pence, who's way skinnier than him. And he goes, Donald, I thought you weren't feeling very well. And Donald is like, Mike. I perked up a little, and Christie then later sends him a text that was like, it's good to see that you're happy, and then goes home.
Christie did probably
I re-listened to our post-election show recently, and Virgil, you were like totally baffled as to why Christie got sort of frozen out of the transition team, and we all kind of didn't really know. We were like, I don't know, maybe because of Bridgegate. But now we know it's because Trump's fucking son-in-law is still mad
Jared
at him
Kushner
because he put his shitty insider trading white collar crook dad in jail. Like that's the sum total of it. Just pure personal.
We have a dedicated line from Jared Kushner's private account. Ring, ring, ring. Hello, hello. Who's there? Jared.
Hi guys. happy Shabbat Shalom. I am getting a lot of open letters today. Let me tell you.
Jared, could you give us the behind the scenes on how you and Papa rat fucked Chris Christie out of his due in the Trump administration?
Listen, all Pop did was try to give organs to people who would pay for them. You should actually thank him. He was trying to bring down insurance costs. He puts Pop in jail for that. That fat putz.
Was it tough for you having a parent in prison?
It completely changed the way that I grew up. You know, I did before that, it was walking with my dad through around the estate, killing servants, hunting them. But after that, you know, I became Dark Jared. I did listen to Eminem. I lost myself, so to speak.
When your dad came home, did he teach you how to make like wild dishes out of just ramen noodles and Fritos?
Yes. Yeah. He said, "What's your life like? Mine is real." I would have to take my allowance and put it on Pop's commissary. it was Ashande.
Frequent call-in guest, Jared Kushner, ladies and gentlemen.
Before I go, a new White House advisor, Teutonic Fury, he is not a bigoted man. He is my friend. I have taken him to temple with me. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Jared.
Wow.
Son-in-law in chief. Felix, Jared just called. You missed it.
Always happens when I have to leave the room.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We've gone long, but are you guys ready for just the closing paragraph of Lenny Letter? We got to close it
out. I've girded my loins.
Hillary Clinton did everything right this campaign.
Wrong.
And she won more votes than her opponent did. She won.
Literally not president. She's not president right now.
She cannot be faulted.
She won so much that she is no longer, she's not going to be president. That's
she
an
cannot be
victory.
Faulted, criticized, or analyzed for even one more second. She will be decorated as an epochal heroine far too extraordinary to be contained by the mere White House. Let that revolting president-elect be Millard Fillmore or Herbert Hoover or whatever.
Or Mallard.
She ran out of Google. She ran out of Google results for like bad presidents.
Yeah, yeah.
The last line. Let him be Herbert Hoover or whatever. Hillary is Athena.
She was born from a guy's head.
Yeah. She.
Yeah.
You let him be a bad president. Put people in camps. Whatever. I don't have time for this. I'm building a temple to Hillary.
All right, guys. What do you say? That's it for this week.
Yeah.
Aaron, thanks so much for joining
us. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Please come back sometime.
Depending on like, you know, what the editors say, I can do more or less anti-Semitism.
Cheers, guys.
Peace.
Bye.
Harry Truman, Doris Day, Regina, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio, Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Studebaker, television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe. Rosenberg, Sage, Bomb, Sugar Ray, Panmunjom, Randall, the King and I.